there's a boot priority in order to control that. I'm not sure how you select which one is the boot. That's really what you want to manipulate. So, does anybody remember how to change your boot, default boot sector, or default boot partition on a PC disk?
KD2AKP, disconnected.
So I gave it to my son James, and he normally boots into XP, but every so often he'll boot into Ubuntu, and it works out real well for him. And anyway, all right. So we're gonna have to add that to the list of things to look up. We have another homework assignment: how to dual boot. What were the two operating systems? Vista, and what was the other one?
Well, I got actually two drives on there, and what Peter did is one drive is set up as a Vista drive, and the other one is the Win 7 that's set up as a Data drive. And if I do it the other way, the other drive, the Win 7 drive, comes up, and the Vista drive appears as a Data drive. So it seems to work pretty good, nice and smooth, except I prefer to choose to have Vista boot as the default, because what I do is half hour before work, I come in, turn on my home computer, turn on the work computer, set them both to reboot. That's a requirement for the work computer. They update it at random, and it doesn't self-reboot. And so I just walk away. And, of course, when I come back to go to work about 6 or 8 minutes before my start time, I prefer to have Vista up, because that's where all my email and junk is.
I see. Okay. All right, so we're going to have to look. We're going to have to investigate this dual boot business. Thank you for that question. That gives us plenty of food for thought for next week. Anybody else have any comments they want to bring up, or topics they want to raise, or check-ins to do? This is KTBARW2TTG. Right. Well, I did see something that was kind of neat on the QRZ website today, and it was the flight of the K6 RPT-11 balloon from California all the way across the country and across the Atlantic, amazingly enough. You go to the QRZ site, you'll see it, and you can just do a general search on K6 RPT. You can even look at, they even have a link on there for APRS tracking, so you can actually see how it went across the ocean, etc. But it was a balloon starting in California and ended up in Europe. It's very, very cool. In fact, it's still... Oh, wait, let's see, where is it now? I have to zoom out to find out where it is. But it looks to me like it's moving at 35 miles an hour, and it's at 14, etc. And it looks to me like it might be, it's over the Mediterranean. That's really cool. That's very, very cool. I'm just looking at its last hour. I'm going to post its last few days and see where it says, but that's very, very cool. It's literally across east, northern coast of Algeria, on its way to the Tunisian border. Yeah. That is so, so cool. So, I don't know how they did it, but they did equip it, obviously, with APRS, and something definitely to consider. How did they do that? And, how might we do it? That might be fun to think about as well. Launching a balloon. There's all sorts of rules with the FAA about that, but those can be worked. and well worth it. I'm wondering if there's anybody who might be interested in such a project.
W2JC with info.
Sir.
The balloon was mentioned in this week's ARRL letter, and I believe that it's now in the Mediterranean Sea.
As in settling in the water, as I show it, at 14,500 feet or so, and moving at 35 miles an hour.
Well, the text of this is written in the past tense. So it says the balloon traveled at about 150 miles per hour and eventually covered 6,236 great circle miles in just 57 hours and 2 minutes. Over.
Okay, well, right now it does show that it's over water at elevation. Well, here, let me just look at its last, let me look at the last, let me do a last 15-minute report and see where it shows up with its last reporting time. I think that'll be key. If we get a reporting time of 2 days ago, then I guess you're right. If it went for a swim, then it's done.
It's in the water. It dropped.
Okay. Well, let's see. Yeah, you're right. It did. The last reporting time was on the 14th at 09:46. So, yeah. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, both Jims.
Another tidbit. It cruised at an altitude between 105,000 and 115,000 feet.
Nice. Well, that's how they managed to do it. Yeah. I scant 57 hours. Yeah, I was looking at where it went across. It was probably hearable here on direct. Question, did anyone recover the package?
Connected KD2AKP.
KD2AKP, did you want to say something? This is pretty marvelous. It really, really is. One way or the other. It certainly got my attention, as you can imagine why. It's just neat. I'd love to see us put up a balloon and send it off. Granted, we're on the East Coast, so everything tends to flow east, but it would just be a rip-roar if we could put together a package that could make it across Siberia or something like that. Start tracking it on APRS. Of course, the other question is, could we get it to California via the Long Pass? Now, that would be a trip. So I'm assuming this thing just basically exploded at altitude. It wasn't taken out of service. It basically took itself out of service. Can Jim or Jim tell me if that's correct?
There's an article on the ARRL website about it. A little too long to read here, probably, or?
Roger. All right, we'll look at that. There's one on the QRZ site as well. Well, very good. Thank you very much. All righty. Any other topics for the net, please call W2TTTK2BAR. Okay, I do have one that I want to just give an initial report on. I've been messing with TYT, the Chinese manufacturer of handy talkies at really cheap prices, is entering the mobile rig market, a 2-meter monobander, a 440 monobander, and I believe sometime in the spring a 222 monobander. 60 watts, soft programmable, blah, blah, blah. But what I really like about it is that its receiver is decent. I haven't done the full intermod run yet. You know, all the usual hell holes of intermod. But I gotta say, having 60 watts of output and fairly decent audio is pretty exciting. And it's got a function button and then five other buttons. So each of those five buttons can be used. I mean, each one has a program, a three programmable functions. Touch it. The one is you touch it and hold it. The other one is you function and touch it. And do three different things when you do that. And you can actually assign any function you want to any button, any of the software functions of the radio to can occupy those 15 positions, which I think is very, very cool. So if you like a particular layout, it's fine. But a lot of the standard functions of all your favorite radios are very much accessible there. So looks like a nice radio, and I've seen the pricing, $160 to $180 bucks, 60-watt monobander. Not bad. Anybody see the TH-9000 yet?
W2KC with a follow-up on the other subject.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
According to the trackers, the balloon burst on Wednesday, December 14th at 0946 UTC off the coast of Algeria. So if you got your last report at 9-something on December 14th, that must have been just before it popped. There's also a picture there, and it looks like the thing is only like 20 feet high.
Well, that's interesting. So, basically, it's, you know, it's a fairly compact package. You know, the problem is you have to have enough of a envelope to put enough, you know, helium into it to make a difference, and then you have to allow it to have enough expansion to expand at altitude without blowing up, and away you go. God help you if you don't. So that can be pretty. So that's pretty good. I guess since it went down at sea, there probably wasn't any effort to recover it. But I'm also thinking if its forward momentum was 35 miles an hour and had been going over 100, what we were probably catching was a nominal forward drift during post, you know, explosion descent. You know, as it came down through altitude, it probably had forward momentum of about 35 miles an hour as opposed to 100 plus that it had when it was inflated.
That's good reasoning. They say that, what thing was it? I don't see it here, right here. When it was spotted, when it was heard in the Azores, it reached 111,503 feet and was traveling in excess of 160 miles an hour at 92 degrees, which is basically east.
Connected KB2AYU.
Probably think of ways to think about whether we want to do this kind of stuff. Anyway, enough said. Let's see. Anybody else on this one? Oh, and everybody talk at once.
Okay.
As you were. All right. Well, I'll just say this, that the TYT mobile radio, the TH-9000, looks very... I will say this, though. If they have the imagination of an Ushan, then what's going to happen is it'll have the same model number at 440 and the same one at 220. It'll be a nightmare. But we'll see. It's certainly a nice radio. I mean, good audio, plenty of audio to match the transmitter power, which is something that was not lost on me. So we shall see. Give some reports on it over the next couple of weeks, no doubt. And I'll probably get the 440 version of it in the spring, maybe the 220. But it seems to be about as wide as the Olinco monobanders, which are roughly the same width as the ICOM monobanders, like the 2200 and 2100 you know, the 207 and 208 dual banders, things like that. They all seem to be about that same width, plus or minus a little bit. So we shall see. Alrighty. By the way, I also I want to thank everybody for coming to, who did come to the Hamfest on Saturday. It was very good. I got a thorough tongue lashing about the food, the variety and the assortment there too, and that will be resolved. And they're talking about doing something like that around Mother's Day. If not the Saturday before Mother's Day, maybe a week before, but I don't know if that's going to be feasible because we don't know whether the facility is available. But we will also certainly have a plain old ham fest in August again, indoors. So that's pretty good too. And Barra Ham Fest, just for Barra Auction, pardon me, is in March. It's the first Sunday in March, I believe. And that should be pretty exciting this year. And then, what do you call it? We'll have our May and our and October Ham Fest as well. So that's pretty exciting. We're looking forward to that as well. So, any comments, questions, confusions, any additional check-ins, etc., please call K2BAR.
KBAR, K2AMI. Gordon, you said the next Barra Ham Fest will be the first Sunday in March. You want to correct that to be the Barra Auction, which will occur at noontime on Sunday, March the 4th, right?
Yes, what, as they say on the street, what he said. Yeah, thank you, Tony. Alrighty. So, apparently I got another Microsoft software update. It gave me the option of rebooting now or never, or now or later, so I took the option. But I saved our roster for tonight, so all is good. Anyway, that I'm looking forward to doing more testing with the TYT radio. Some of the things I do like about it, as opposed to some of the others, is the microphone's a little more substantial, but also fully functional. A lot of functions on that microphone. And number two, the function buttons, you know, again, you can lay them out the way you like them, as opposed to the way the manufacturer likes them. So if you're one of those guys who works a lot of Simplex, and you want to open the sculpt at the touch of a button, you can have a monitor button to do that. Or if you're a person who likes to check on the input of repeaters, you can set up a button to do that. You know, to reverse and possibly even open the squelch. There's all sorts of other things you can do. If you're like one of those people who likes to change power levels a lot, you can do that. If you travel, you might want to set up a tone scan. You might also want to be able to set the tone, the offset, really, really quickly, and have buttons dedicated to that. So, all good. I mean, really, really good stuff. So, although I did find that the default layout was entirely reasonable. I haven't changed them yet. But you can do the whole thing in software. It's really, really kind of neat. Alrighty. The other thing I acquired at this weekend's Hamfest was a 10-meter Omni. It was sold in the ham and CB markets both as a 10-meter, 11-meter antenna. It is entirely tunable. This radio will stay the same, the actual vertical driven element gets, you know, manhandled a little bit. So it looks to be a bit of a vertical on 10 meters. That's going to be pretty nice. Fiberglass vertical and steel radials, so three steel radials. So I'm going to try to have that up in time for next Monday's 10-meter net. We'll see how that goes on Saturday, if I can get that going on Saturday morning. It'll go up and away. That or Saturday afternoon, later in the afternoon, we'll see. So, any questions, comments, or confusions, please call K2BAR. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight and making this a very interesting net tonight. For those who are new, we hope you'll join us again. I didn't make it clear, but Nestor checks in usually from someplace in Southern California. He lives in Calexico, and sometimes he's off in Central America, South America, comes in by Echo Link. So we always have DX on this net, high. So it's kind of cool. Tomorrow night, the New Jersey Devils retire Niedermeyer's number in Jersey. And a good chunk of our family will be there. So that's very, very good. And we're going to enjoy that. And wish everybody a good day. And thanks again for the use of the Chestnut Ridge repeater. By the way, some of us will be meeting at the food court in Paramus Park around 8:30 tomorrow morning for a breakfast nosh. Welcome to join us up on the food court in the upper area. And then Chestnut Ridge Radio Club is having their luncheon tomorrow. If you want to attend, even at this late date, just email me, w2ttt@att.net or arrl.net. That's Whiskey 2, Tango, Tango, Tango. We can always arrange for another seat at the table for you. Everybody pays their own bill, but it's kind of nice. And then go from there. So I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater and welcome everybody to the next Barra meeting, which, as I said, is on January 8th. But you're always welcome to join us tomorrow morning, I should say, for coffee if you have time. If you're not off at work or school or whatever. This is K2BAR W2TTT, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. Someone want to make a comment?
KD2AYU disconnected. KD2AKP disconnected.
W2TTT listening. I don't know if it was the station they're calling me or calling in general, but I just got back in the truck and I heard the repeater squelchtail crash at the end of a transmission, so if someone wants to say something, go right ahead, W2TTT.
Just one of the friendly junkers, Gordon, W2JC.
You know, I forgot that we have those. Yeah, it's very good, James. Making my way from where I've been perched for the last little bit to pick up names. Nancy at work. I had dinner at the beginning of the net, and I'm having dessert at the end. I guess that's the best way to characterize it. Anyway, just trying to see if I have... I think I have a misalignment in my headlights. I just noticed it. Oh, yeah, look at that. Very definitely something not aligned, right? My, I mean, they're both forward, they're both civilized, but the one on the passenger side is aimed very low. The one on the driver's side is fine, but the one on the passenger side is aimed decidedly lower, so I think I'm going to have to fix that. Something else to do with my copious and ever-abundant spare time.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, they don't check headlights anymore, apparently. But that might be a good thing. You can spot the skunk that's about to run in front of you easier if the right-hand one is lower along the curb line. Well, it sounds like you're a master of multitasking tonight, Thornton. You did a pretty good job running the net from sitting in your car. Just reading the rest of that ARL letter, and they make the comment that it's been 13 weeks since the average daily sunspot number for the week was as low or lower than it is now.
So, meaning it's averaging a rise.
Meaning the sun is not so spotty, which I guess isn't giving the radio waves their oomph.
Well, it's better than it has been in years. I mean, they were talking about this being a sunspot cycle from hell, and, you know, meaning that, you know, there would be no 10-meter propagation except sporadic E.
Well, from what I hear everybody talking last weekend proved that was wrong.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I hear guys telling me about their 10-meter DX exploits virtually every other day. That's because I don't hear, I don't get on the air every day. My gut feeling is I'd hear it virtually every day if I spent more time on the air. Just seems every time I'm in the air, I'm hearing good stuff, so all good, I guess. I'm going to put that 10-meter antenna up mostly for local purposes, but I also have to put up a 10-meter dipole. I've been promising myself to do that, and I'll do that as well. I'll just tack that on to the 8040 trap dipole, and I was going to put up a an antenna for in the other direction instead of east west. I was going to aim it north south. But I think if I put up the 10-meter vertical, I'll compromise with that. But it might be fun to have three different 10-meter antennas and just flip around them and see what they do. That could be fun, especially with something like the Flex, where you have two receivers and you can decide in any given moment which receiver is getting which antenna.
LEP2GAI.
Hey, Mr. Ron, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I've been on 10 quite a bit in the morning. And I do read the propagation summaries from the league. And my advice to everybody is listen to the beacons, especially on 10 meters. They're all on CW, of course. And that'll give you a good idea of how the band is. In fact, 20, 17, 15, 12 also have the Beacon Network, plus there's others in there. And that's a great way to figure out what the band is, because the write-ups sometimes say piss poor, and then the bands are wide open. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, the last time I was browsing around on 10 meters, I heard a whole bunch of Beacons coming in. The K5s from Texas were coming in stronger than the ones from West Orange, New Jersey, which is obvious, I guess. Anyway, Gordon, the ARL letter this week says that we're 94.7, and they're predicting it to go up noticeably over the next few weeks to around 145 toward the end of the year. So I guess that means things should pick up anyway. My problem is I haven't had time. I got this nice new IC7000 a while ago. The only thing I've been using it for is the 10 meter net, the 440 net, the Vara net, so I'm 2 meters. And last time I tried my $50 dipole, multi-band dipole, it had an infinite SWR. So I guess what I was receiving was just being picked up on the feed line or something. But that's one of the projects. But with this weather, I'm trying to get the yard work done first. So one of these days when it's not raining, not too cold out, I have to lower the antenna and take the rig out to the back patio, I guess, and hook it up directly to the antenna. See what it says.
Yeah, or cut yourself a 40-meter dipole, only because you could be a little sloppy with that. Don't even bother putting it more than 8 feet in the air and see what it does. That'll make it something worthwhile. But, yeah, if we're going to see sunspot numbers in the 145 region, then it's not a question of whether or not we're going to have 10-meter propagation. We will have transcontinental and international 6-meter propagation, which would be lovely. Go ahead, Ryan.
I know the bands are really good because with 1 watt, have no problem working the Europeans. But that's with the Force 12 with my Yagi. On 30 meters, you know, not too many guys get up at 3 in the morning. But there's been some good openings into the South Pacific. But I got to admit, can't do it with 5 watts, 50 watts on some early mornings. But again, it also depends on the noise level. But luckily, the lamp posts around here and the street lights have been pretty quiet. There's a fellow of K2TWK, Bob, he's down the street from me, checks out the noise level on the street lights, and if there's any problems, the utility guy comes and fixes them within a day. So we're kind of lucky over here. I won't hold you guys. You guys take care. Maybe I'm going to try to make coffee tomorrow morning. But enjoy the DX while it's out there. This is WB2GAI.
Hey, Ron, very good. I was also to ask you for the utility guy's phone number, and then I realized where you live, and you have a different utility guy. I noticed about 5 blocks from my house, but in New Milford, yeah, 6 blocks, I guess, there's a street light that's on in the daytime. And what's worse is it's not fully on. It's kind of like half on. It doesn't cycle. It's just half on. So it explains where some noise I'm seeing coming from the southwest from my house is coming from. So I got to get on the horn to PSC&G and rattle their cages a little bit. See if I can solve that. That would be very good. All right.
73 run. I'm going to try to make coffee as well. Nancy and I are doing the tour, assuming, I mean, she's getting out of work at 11 o'clock plus, so if we don't make it, you'll understand. But the goal is coffee in the morning, do some light shopping, because we're pretty much done with Christmas shopping, thank God. Then go off to the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club luncheon. Either one of you welcome to join us, by the way. We're going to some Chinese place. You shoot me an email, I'll send you where. Only because I don't remember off the top of my head, otherwise I'd tell you now. Doing that at noon. And about 1:45, 2 o'clock, we're picking Jeremy up at school and going directly to the Crew Center down in Newark. Go see the Devils play tomorrow night. Nancy got really good seats for really cheap money, like $30. And, what do you call it? We're going to watch them retire Niedermeyer's number. So 7-3, over to you, Jim, W2JC, W2TTT.
Well, you could always go over to Fairlawn for Friday night to round out the the tour. Sounds like you're going to have a busy day. All right, that's it. I just figured I'd come in and let you know what you had heard when you turned the radio on. Since I was sitting here and hadn't changed the channel while I was catching up on stuff on the computer. We'll see you guys later. W2JC clear. And QRT on here.
Very good, Jim. No, we can't. We're going to the Devil game. Otherwise, we would go to the Fairlawn Club, and we've done that triple header thing before. 73W2TTT. I'm playing hooky tomorrow. I'm pretty much done for the year, except for week after next and tomorrow. I've got some basically minimal vacation left. I've got like a week and a half to burn in 2 weeks in a day. So 73W2JC, WBTGI, W2TTT. Godspeed.
W2PNE, you're listening, Whiskey 2 Papa, November, England. If anyone is still alive and kicking at this hour. W2PNE, Whiskey 2 Papa, November, England, listening, if anyone is still up.
Fine business. All right. So, new to the Brew Peter, or is this your first time there here, or have you? I haven't heard you here before.
Okay. No, I kind of popped in occasionally. I'm pretty much a new ham, and only like 2 months into it. Just the other day, I put this radio in my truck, so in the morning, whenever I'm in the car in the morning and the afternoon on the way home, I usually try this repeater and another repeater. And if somebody's on, I have a queue. You know, you can have a QSO, but lately, I haven't heard much on this repeater, except I was listening last night to the TechNet.
Yeah, this repeater usually got some traffic in the morning, some traffic in the drive times. Gordon runs the nets. There's a couple of nets on here. Got some nice coverage. It's a nice repeater to work with. As far as the new ham, I can understand that. With the Kilo David call, I can understand that. As I'm a Kilo Bravo, you can probably tell I've been at this a while.
Yeah, I kind of figured that out. What is it, KB, KC, now it's KD.
Yeah, that next letter keeps going up. You know, keeps getting further progressed in the alphabet as you go on and on. So yeah, I've actually had my ticket over 20 years now. So I've been at this a little bit, and most of the time I get to do it is drive time. When I was younger, I had an apartment. They were really dead set against the tenants and stuff like that. So I only did it during the drive time then. Now my wife finds ways for me to make no room to have a ham shack, so it still stays in the car. But it happens. You make time as you do, and it's amazing the contacts and the information and, heck, just sometimes the help you can get having a QSO on the repeater.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I got a little ham shack home. I don't know. I don't know why I waited so long to get my license, because I think maybe like 15 years maybe I would study and then let go, you know, quit halfway. And one day I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to try to take a practice test online to see how good I would do. And I knew everything already. So I'm like, you know what, find the next test and just go take it. But talking about a ham shack, you know, like some of these Yaesus or any other of these, dual band radio, most of them, with the face being able to come off, you could actually put that radio somewhere in your closet and run your wire somewhere around the corner of your room or whatever, and just put it like next to your laptop, your computer somewhere, and you just have the face there and mount your antenna somewhere. So there, I like the way... you can mount the face in front of your car and put the rest of the radio in your trunk.
And with a lot of these remote face radios, that works well. It's a good concept. Then again, there's also the concept of software-defined radio, where the laptop has the control, it interfaces into a unit, and the antennas go into that, and you do it that way. That's something that might work. Again, the whole problem is I got to make sure I've got something that can stay stable. It's not going to move around, so I can actually run the antenna. The area that used to be my computer area has moved 6 times in the last 3 years. It's got to stay in one spot so I can run the antenna. I think my wife does that on purpose. Now, where I'm going now, I'm probably going to get quite a bit scratchy because I'm going to be dropping about 30, 40 feet in elevation. So, I'm sorry, I forgot to call Alejandro, KB2JLL.
Okay, no problem, it's KD2AYU, and same here, I'm bad at remembering call letters and names. Yeah, just like my wife said the same thing. She's like, oh, another radio? You need another radio? Yeah, I need another radio, I cannot have enough.
Well, that's what I like about the software-defined radio. Here's the piece that you put behind it, and it's general coverage. It's everything.
Yeah. One thing about the 2 meters and 70 centimeters that I like is being able to put a radio into your car in the way like I just said, that you could actually put the face of the radio anywhere you want. Because some of these compact cars now, they're tighter and tighter on space. And the other part is the antenna is not huge like, you know, let's say 10 meters or CB antennas where they're huge.
Agreed. The antenna on the back of my truck, the rig I'm using, is 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters, and, of course, 70 centimeters. The rig I've got is a 4-bander. And, you know, it's 6.5 foot, but it's not too obnoxious in size.
Right. The one, the antenna I'm using now is just a dual-band antenna, and, you know, it's small. I forgot the height of it. Maybe 16, 17 inches, or maybe 19 inches. I forgot how high it is. But it doesn't look bad on my truck. I was actually thinking if I do find some space to put the 10-meter radio in, because I do have an antenna for it. So maybe down the line.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you go down there, you know, when you get there, you know, you shoot for it. But it's amazing what you can do with these radios. All right, give me a couple of moments here. Alejandro, KD2, KDY. Yeah, I'll get it eventually. KD2, JLL. Where I'm going, you're going to lose me, so give me about a minute.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm getting very close to my job, so I'll say 73s. As bad as I am at remembering call letters, I don't remember your name again. So I'll say 73s, and back to you if you could get through.
Okay, Alejandro, the name is Pete. Papa Echo Tango Echo 73. Talk to you down the log. You're always welcome on the repeater.
Okay, Pete, I'll talk to you later. 73s, KD2 AYU, and we're clear.